Chapter 2, South Island, New Zealand.
Kia! Kia!
Roared in Aria's ears as the Kia's beaks dug into her.
Get him off! Get him off!
She moaned and rolled in the sheets that bunched around her neck. Kia! Kia! Thrummed against her heart that was pumping hard for what was supposed to be a lazy morning in bed to be followed by a New Year's Day trek into the mountains. She gasped as she woke to a huge Kia staring at her, but it was the enlarged photograph that hung in her bedroom. Relief flooded her when she realized she was alive and she could see, and she was lying on her bed, not in a gravel valley at the base of a cliff. Wow, that was a nightmare for all time. Kia! Kia! She jumped before she remembered her new ringtone, a Kia flight call. Digging in the sheets, she found the phone. Mom spelled across her screen, and the time, 7:30 a.m. Her heart started speeding again. Mom never called this early. She was usually out in the pastures on her daily rounds of checking on the sheep and Kias. Something must have pulled her out of the routine to call at this hour. Something must have pulled her out of the routine to call at this hour. Aria hoped it wasn't Koro, her ailing grandfather, who was healthy a year ago, but now was beset by rapid mental decline. Her fingers trembled, not in a nightmare, but in awake time. She held her phone against her heart and hoped he was safe. Then she dialed. And dialed again. The phone didn't connect. She thought her mother must be in some mountain valley pocket where the signal is weird, or maybe she has her hands full with whatever emergency might be happening. The dream had spooked her. Placing the phone on speaker mode, she climbed out of bed and dialed again. Looking at her phone, she didn't see the pillow she threw during her nightmare, and her foot caught on it. The phone flew as she grabbed the bathroom counter, catching herself before she nosedived into the toilet bowl rim. Her phone wasn't so lucky and did a perfect swoosh into the yellow-tinged bowl. She scrunched her nose and reached for the phone. A mumbled, "Kia! Kia!" vibrated the water. She snatched up the phone and ran it under the faucet, hoping her mother wouldn't give up after only a few rings. She told herself to get a new ringtone as she dropped the dripping phone on a towel and told her smart home system,
"Answer phone in house speaker mode. Mom?"
As she turned and sat on the...
No, she... So let's do it from here.
She told herself to get a new ringtone as she dropped the dripping phone on a towel and told her smart home system,
"Answer phone in house speaker mode. Mom?"
She turned and sat on the toilet bowl, her contact with water sending subconscious messages to her bladder that emptied now. "Honey, are you okay? You sound out of breath. Are you out jogging? Is it raining there?"
"No, I'm just having one of those mornings. Didn't sleep well."
"But are you okay? Has anything happened?" Aria could hear the wind rushing over her mother's phone from whatever valley her mother was in.
"Granddad Core, is he okay?"
"Yes, he's fine. Well, at least the same as yesterday. I've got an injured Kia. That damn Isaac shot another one."
"What happened? Is the bird bleeding? Where are you?"
Aria riffled off questions as she looked for her pants. "Do you mean rifled?"
"Yes."
Okay, that would be one F.
"Well, just..."
Aria rifled off questions as she looked for her pants. "I'm about 30 minutes from home. The bird is weak. There's blood on her feathers. She's in my coat against my chest. I'm holding horse reins on the phone, so I can't..."
And the phone.
Aria rifled off questions as she looked for her pants. "I'm about 30 minutes from home. The bird is weak. There's blood on her feathers. She's in my coat against my chest. I'm holding horse reins and the phone, so I can't talk long. Can you meet me here or at the KFC? Aria's fingers added the time for her mother's path to meet up with hers.
"I can get to the bird quicker if I meet you on the road. Ride home as quickly as you can without jostling the bird. Put her in a cardboard box and start driving to KFC. I'll start driving towards you.
That's the plan, then. Tiksu, Aria, said her mother, slipping into her native Miskito language.
Bye, Mom. Be careful and thanks.
But the line was already dead. She grabbed her car keys and tripped on her boots.
I'm getting as bad as Granddad, falling, iffy bladder control, and talking to myself.
She muttered as she picked up her boots and jogged down the hallway. She guessed she drank more drafts than she remembered last night during the New Year's Eve party at the pub next door. She was glad that at least she was still wearing a relatively clean shirt from yesterday and didn't have to look for one. As she passed the kitchen, she spied the coffee maker out of the corner of her eye. Set to read movement and sound in the house, it was already gurgling with the best smell in the world next to a fluffed-up feathered parrot belly.
Not today, Dr. Ropata. You've got a bird to save.
She grabbed her jacket as she opened the door and pitter-pattered to the truck, her mobile vet clinic.
Ouch! Ouch!
The gravel dug into her bare feet. I'm sorry, I don't recognize that command, said her car. Could you repeat? She threw her boots in the passenger seat.
Moana, start and plan the fastest route to my mother's.
The gravel dug into her bare feet. I'm sorry, I don't recognize that command, said her car. Could you repeat? She threw her boots in the passenger seat.
Moana, start and plan the fastest route to my mother's.
The engine sparked to life, and the car said, Please buckle up. I'll start moving as soon as you do.
I'll drive today, thanks anyway.
Okay, is there anything else I can do?
Yeah, play ranchera music and play it loud.
She listened to the fast-paced music when she needed to gear up for action. It wasn't the music of her mother's Honduran home, but she liked anything from the Americas, where she'd done her residency in avian medicine. No, 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 yo nome Rezegnera. No, 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 yo nome Resignare. No, 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 yo nome Resignare.
No, that's May.
May?
May.
No, 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 yo nome Resignare, blasted the speakers. You want me to try again?
Sure. That was closest. That was the closest, yeah.
No, 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 yo nome Resignare, blasted the speakers, and she had to laugh. That was one of her mother's favorite songs from her own youth. Déjame vivir.
That's right. Let the parrots live, and I won't give up, won't give up.
She sang along as she pulled into the drive tune. She sang along as she pulled onto the expressway to her parents' ranch north of Springfield. But Kia conservation was hard. It was at a crossroads, and it wasn't looking good. The birds were protected, but continual habitat destruction to make room for the livestock industry had intensified in the last decades, causing more conflict because the hungry Kias were scavenging in human areas and, like in every other century, pestering the sheep and sometimes feasting on them. But what had tipped the scale was climate change.
Moana, roll down the windows. It's going to be a hot one today.
As the windows sank down, Moana said, I can turn off the AC if you like. As the windows sank down, Moana said, I can turn on the AC if you like.
No, we better not. Mitigating climate change and all that.
As you wish, said Moana.
I love you too, Moana.
She smiled, feeling that she was in a vintage movie. The hot wind in her face felt good, but the aroma of cattle feedlots was putrid. She couldn't understand why people still ate meat. She rolled her eyes and shook her head, glad that her mother had almost completely knocked meat out of her diet. She ranched sheep only in select areas of the farm, mostly as a picturesque backdrop for their eco-lodge, Kohali. Kauha. How's it said?
Kauai.
Kauai. She ranched sheep only in select areas of the farm, mostly as a picturesque backdrop for their eco-lodge, Kauai Ranch.
No, Kauai.
Kauai?
Kauai.
Kauai. She ranched sheep only in select areas of the farm, mostly as a picturesque backdrop for their eco-lodge, Kowai Ranch. Do you want to go to one of your favorite vegan restaurants?
No, let's just get to Mom's. We can worry about eating later. Sing along with me.
Dehamai Vevir, sang out the trio.
Dehamai.
I said Dehamai.
Okay, say it again.
Dehamai Vevir, sang out the trio, harmonizing along Highway 78 as several songs played.
Moana, call Mom and see where she is, and turn off the music.
Hey, Mia, I'm at the Crosby Ranch. Where are you?
I'm 10 minutes away. How's the Kia doing?
She's standing fluffed up in her box. She must be pretty badly hurt if she isn't trying to figure out how to rip up the box, let alone get out.
Did you see her get shot?
No, I was on the north side of our ranch when I heard a shot echo through the valley, followed by either a motorcycle or ATV. I rode... No, I was on the north side of our ranch when I heard a shot echo through the valley, followed by either a motorcycle or ATV. I rode Aras at full speed to see what was up. By the time we got there, whoever shot the Kia was long gone. I suspect it was Isaac. His ATV tracks were in the pasture near his ranch. There was a dead ewe in the pasture, one of Isaac's, a Turkana, and by the look of her, she'd been dead a while.
Where did you find the Kia?
That's the odd thing. And by the way, the Kia is Juniper, said her mother.
But Juniper has chicks in the nest.
Making Isaac doubly in trouble. By hurting her, he may have doomed the entire brood.
Well, thank goodness males are the primary food gatherers, so they might be okay. And the chicks were ready to fledge, which may be why Juniper was far from home. Is that what was odd about Juniper being near the dead ewe?
Juniper wasn't near the sheep. I was looking all around when Aris's ears shot up, spooked, and that horse doesn't scare easily. But something rattled him.
He was staring at a nearby kowai tree. He was staring at a nearby kowai tree, where about 20 kias were dark and
quiet. I'm going to stop you. This is still the mother talking, so you were higher pitched here and then you went lower.
Oh, okay.
Juniper wasn't near the sheep. I was looking all around when Aris's ears shot up, spooked, and that horse doesn't scare easily. But something rattled him. He was staring at a nearby kowai tree where about 20 kias were dark and quiet, including the injured one, and more were flying in. I don't know how she got up in the tree because she was unconscious. The kias were cradling her with their beaks and feet so she wouldn't fall. They didn't fly away when I rode up, but they almost never do. I saw blood near the sheep where Juniper was shot and under the tree where they must have carried her. I didn't know how I was going to get her down. As I rode under the tree, I heard the keys softly keening that Kina, Kina call that they sometimes use when stationary. I recognized a few of them from the ranch roost, and I think they knew who I was. Then one called Kirk. Kirk! And they began slowly lowering Juniper branch by branch to me. They watched me wrap her in my coat. Some followed me to the ranch, and they might still be there for all I know.
You gotta be kidding me. I swear those birds are smarter every year. And of course they recognize you, and looks like they trust you as well. You've been protecting them even longer than Grandma Maggie did. She did so much of the groundwork by asking her neighbors to quit shooting them and helping pass the law that made it illegal to harm them, even if they pestered or killed sheep. But you have spent decades, day and day out, side by side with the Kias. Hey, I see your car up ahead. Bye.
Two generations of women simultaneously swerved their trucks onto opposite shoulders and braked as if a choreographed dance. They ran toward each other, one with a small box and one with a med kit. Donica held her breath as her daughter slowly opened the box.
I can't see where she shot. She's got the blanket bunched in her foot against her left side. Where did you see the blood?
On her left side.
Huh. It's like she's putting pressure on her wound.
Aria whispered as she examined Juniper.
Well, she isn't bleeding now, that I can see. Well, at least externally. And her breathing is normal. I think she'll be okay until I can get her to the clinic at KFC. I don't want to handle her now. A ride in the oxygenated incubator will get her ready for handling.
Should I come with you in case you need an extra set of hands? She's one of the old ones. Should I come with you in case you need an extra set of hands? She's one of the old one's granddaughters. I want to make sure she's okay.
Wow, you know your flock well, Ma. No, I got this. I know you got a busy day prepping for your annual New Year's Kia party tonight. I'll give a call once I treat her. What are you going to do about Isaac?
Don't you worry about that. I can handle him. You take care of Juniper.
Okay. Okay, bye. Talk to you later, and if Juniper's okay, I'll see you at the party tonight.
Aria approached the open door of her car.
Moana, start the car and drive me to KFC.
She wanted her hands free to examine Juniper and treat her, if needed, before she arrived. She was worried about the bird, and ever more so about what her mother would do to Isaac.
Maybe in that, a little more, in what her mother would do, you know, a little more drama there.
She wanted her hands free to examine Juniper and treat her, if needed, before she arrived. She was worried about the bird, and ever more so about what her mother would do to Isaac.
Thank you.